Doug. Good evening and welcome once again to Rabbi Soloveitchik's share sponsored by the Beis Medrash program. Once again, CDs will be available for the share, but you have to sign up. There's a sign-up sheet right here on the Bima. Just put your name down, and the CDs will be in the box in the Beis Medrash on the windowsill for within about 48 hours after the share. This month's share is being sponsored by Yitzchak and Naomi Belazon and family in memory of Shmuel ben Avraham Mandura, Kavod Gadol, Rav Soloveitchik. Even if you signed up for Rabbi Sachs' CD, you still have to sign up for Rabbi Soloveitchik's CD or Rav Goldberg's CD. That's just the way it works.
If you want to single out two aspects of Rosh Hashanah, which really seem to make up the entire mahus, the entire essence of the day, so of course one of them has to be the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar. And the second one, perhaps, is the idea of tefillah. Of course, we know that the davening Rosh Hashanah happens to be pretty long. That's also true. But Al-Pi Halacha, the davening in Rosh Hashanah is long in the sense that there are very special tefillahs that are said. Of course, the special brachas of the tefillahs Musaf, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. And in addition, all the many, many different piyutim and different tefillos and tchinos that are added into the davening that we don't say in the normal circumstances. So this, of course, gives the Rosh Hashanah its unique quality as a Yom Tefillah. So I want to speak a little bit about these two different aspects, the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar on the one hand, and the aspect of tefillah on the other hand, and really see some of their interaction between the two, how Tekiyah Shofar and tefillah are not necessarily two different aspects of Rosh Hashanah, but perhaps they really fuse together to form one basic mahus, one basic theme, what the essence of the Yom is all about. So in order to get a little bit of a better understanding of the relationship between Tekiyah Shofar and tefillah, you have to really take one step back and understand a little bit about tefillah in general, not necessarily as it relates to Rosh Hashanah. We begin with the first of the Maamar Kamos, which is a sugya Maseches Tainus on Daf Beis. The Gemara quotes a brayso of the Sanya, La'avos Hashem Elokeichem La'avdo B'chol Levavchem, Eizeli Avodah Shibaleiv. A pasuk that we say so many times during the course of our life, La'avdo B'chol Levavchem, we are required to serve HaKadosh Baruch with all of our hearts. So what does that mean? What is an example of Avodah Shibaleiv? What mitzvah particularly is this referred to? Haviyom Ezu Tefillah. This is the source of Chumash for the principle of davening, for the mitzvah of Tefillah. It's considered to be an Avodah Shibaleiv. In fact, there are some poskim who maintain that even though, of course, we know that when we daven, we have to say the words, there are some who want to argue that the idea of saying the words is really midrabbanan. That means min ha-Torah, the ikar tefillah, is really performed belay. The person sits and thinks and meditates about his, about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and thinks about what his needs are, that's considered to be davening on a level of the araisa. The fact that you have to say the words, that's only midrabbanan. So tefillah is the classic mitzvah of avodah shebelay. So there was a major machlokas in the Rishonim, how to understand lamaisa, what is this all about? What do we mean when we say that there's a mitzvah in HaTorah to be over Hashem Balev? So the Rambam has a comment at the beginning of Chos Tefillah with the Ramban alludes to, so we're going to see it inside in the Ramban, that the Rambam understands that this mitzvah, Ola Avda B'chol Levavchem, Ola Avda Shebalev, refers to the mitzvah, the daily mitzvah of Tefillah. The Rambam's opinion is that min HaTorah one is required to daven every single day. The Rambam concedes that the notion of davening, the Shemoneh Esrei, the Nusach that we have of Shemoneh Esrei, is not min HaTorah. The Chumash doesn't say anything about the Nusach of Shemoneh Esrei. The idea of davening three times a day, Shachas Mincha Na'arev, is also only midrabbanan. But that basic entity, that basic idea of davening, La'avdu B'chol Levavchem, is a Torah requirement each and every day of one's life, according to the opinion of the Rambam. And the Ramban takes issue with this Rambam. The Ramban says, no, that it's not true, that there's no mitzvah min HaTorah of davening every day. If so, what does La'avdu B'chol Levavchem, Avodah Shebelev Zu Tefillah, what does it mean? Is there any time when a person is required to daven min HaTorah? So this is where we see in the second of the Maamar Kamos, the Ramban has the following insight. This Ramban is taken from the Sefer HaMitzvos, where the Ramban disagrees with many of the counts of the Rambam concerning the Mitzvos. So the Ramban writes, "Ma'asher darshu b'sifrei ula avdo zeh Talmud davar achaz o tefillah," that there are in fact two different statements of Chazal, ula avdo b'chol levavchem means. The one that we referred to before is tefillah, but Chazal of another drasha which refers to learning, ula avdo b'chol levavchem means, one is supposed to learn Torah. So comes the Ramban and says, Asmachtahi, that these drashas which tell us that of the b'chol levavcha means you have to daven, so that falls under the category of halacha, what's called an asmachta. Asmachta means that it's basically a din which is only mit derabbanon. It's not a din min haTorah. That's not what the Chumash actually means, that you have to really daven. It's only a din mit derabbanon. So why do we quote a pasuk mit derabbanon? So the Gemara uses this phrase very often, asmachta, which many Rishonim, including the Rambam, understood to mean it's kind of like a mnemonic device. It means when you get to the Parsha and Chumash and you read of the B'chol Levavchem, so you'll remember a whole of the B'chol Levavchem. Oh yeah, mit derabbanon there's a mitzvah of tefillah. So the Chachamim said that a good way to remember about the mitzvah of tefillah is, which is itself only mit derabbanon, is to link it in our memory to the pasuk in Chumash of the B'chol Levavchem. But that's not really what the Chumash means. When the Chumash says of the B'chol Levavchem, it does not really mean tefillah. So tefillah is only a din mit derabbanon according to the Ramban. But now the Ramban takes somewhat of an about face. The Ramban says no, it's possible that tefillah is min haTorah, that the Torah itself mandates davening, but whereas the Rambam says that the mitzvah of tefillah min haTorah is all the time, every single day, says the Rambam, no, Olomar shemichlal ha'avoda shenumal Torah v'shenispalal alav be'eis hatzaros. The Rambam says that the mitzvah min haTorah of the b'chol levavchem means yes, you have to learn and yes, you have to daven, you have to be over Hashem b'leiv, but it only means be'eis tzaros. It means when there's a particular need, when there's a particular crisis in your life. So then you're required to daven to the Rabban Shalom. So the Rambam understood you have to daven min haTorah every day. And the Ramban understood, no, you don't have to daven min haTorah every day. That's only min derabbanon. The chiyuv to daven min haTorah is only be'eis tzara. The Tiyena says the Ramban, einenu v'libenu elov levado, ke'enei avodim o'yad adoneihem. V'zeh ke'inyin shekosim. Now the Ramban is searching for a model in the Chumash itself. Where do you find that the Torah accepts this notion of an eis tzara? Where do we find precedent in the Chumash itself that there exists a specific halacha that was given only by a tzar at a time of need? The pasuk in Parshas Balosha tells us that when you go out to war, or for that matter, any other type of a tzar, any other type of a distress, any other type of a crisis that happens to Klal Yisrael, there's a special mitzvah of tkiyas chatzotros. There's a special mitzvah to blow the silver trumpets that were used in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the mitzvah of Tekiyas Chatzotzer. So what's that mitzvah all about? So the Ramban continues, V'hi mitzvah al chotzara v'tzara shetava l'atzibur v'tzok l'fana v'tvila uv'sruah. That that idea of blowing chatzotzer is not just a mitzvah v'yam, which is to take chatzotzer and toot on the horn. The mitzvah is that the chatzotzer are a method, they're a mechanism of tvila, that we dive into the Rebbeinu Shalom in two different ways. We dive into the Rebbeinu Shalom through the sounds of the horns, the sounds of the silver trumpets in the Beis HaMikdash, and we also dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam through our words. So these are really two sides of the same coin, says the Ramban. The Torah says, "Lo avdu b'chol levavchem." You have to be Eved Hashem b'chol lev. You have to dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam. So whereas according to the Ramban, that means every day, the Ramban says it's not true. Min haTorah, you only dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam the Eis Tzara. And how does that davening express itself? So in two different ways. It expressed itself through the words of tefillah, of the b'chol levavchem, the thinking of the words, the saying of the words, and it expressed itself through the tekiyas chatzotzos as well. Now for us, this idea of tekiyas chatzotzos is somewhat foreign. After all, probably none of us have ever heard the chatzotzos being blown. The simple reason they have been blown for the last who knows how many years, which is in fact an interesting shayla that the poskim discuss, why not? If the Chumash says explicitly, whenever you have a war, particularly a war in Eretz Yisrael, she's supposed to blow the chatzotzos, so what happened to that mitzvah bizman hazeh? So it's really a tzarechion. No one is exactly sure. How come we don't perform this mitzvah anymore? Says the Farish in the Chumash. So there are different suggestions that are given. Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that he thinks that the mitzvah of tekiyas chatzotzos, so if you look in the Chumash speaks about blowing chatzotzos on two different occasions. You're supposed to blow the silver chatzotzos at a time of war, and you're supposed to blow the chatzotzos at a time of Hakrovas HaKarbonos. In the Beis HaMikdash, he used to blow the chatzotzos. So Moshe said this is kind of like a package deal. Means if you make chatzotzos for the Beis HaMikdash, so then, just derech agav, if you have a war going on, and you take those chatzotzos of the Beis HaMikdash, and you use them as a mechanism of tefillah. But if you don't make them for the Beis HaMikdash, so you don't just make them just stand for the purposes of tefillah b'yei tzara. It's an interesting suggestion for Rabbi Shah. Others have other possibilities as to why lemais at tekiyas chatzotzos hasn't happened. But lemais, nobody's blown chatzotzos in quite a long time. But Alpha Pichain, the Ramban tells us that the idea, the hashkafa, at least behind the mitzvah of blowing chatzotzos, that the chatzotzos is supposed to be a type of a tefillah. And there are tefillah which is particularly linked to the notion of eis tzara. So even though the chatzotzos is something which is foreign to us, we do of course have another mechanism of tefillah which is similar to the chatzotzos, and that's the notion of tekiah shofar. Is there any similarity between the tekiah shofar that we're familiar with from Rosh Hashanah and the blowing of the chatzotzos be'eis tzara? So there is a discussion in the Rishonim which may shed some light on this question. Is there a certain similarity? So comes the Rosh in the third of the Maamar Kamos and quotes from the Rishonim who are bothered with the following problem. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that when one davens at Rosh Hashanah, so you have to quote psukim of Malchios, psukim of Zichronos, and psukim of Shofros, and Chazal go through to delineate precisely which psukim qualify for Malchios, which psukim qualify for Zichronos, which psukim qualify for Shofros, and there's a whole series of psukim. You start with three in the Chumash, then you go three Tehillim, and three in Navi, then you finish up with the Torah. The whole works. Of course, we're all familiar with the different psukim that we say in Rosh Hashanah. So there was a problem, if you remember back to the davening in Rosh Hashanah, so the last pasuk that we say of Shofros is the end of the end. Every pasuk that we use was perfect. We get to the last of the last, the last pasuk of Shofros, and we quote a pasuk which Mamash does at first glance doesn't make any sense. So that's what the Rosh says, V'yesh meraninim amash anu mashlivi b'shofros. The very last pasuk of Shofros is the following, the Haikra, uv'yom simchaschem uv'mo'adechem, shekosubo uskatem b'chatzotzeros, v'ein kosubo shofar. The last pasuk that we use for Shofros, the last pasuk from Chumash, is the pasuk from Parshas Baalosch, which talks about blowing the silver trumpets in the Beis HaMikdash. The Rosh says, a very small technical problem, that the whole theme of the whole brach of Shofros is Shofar, 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 and then the grand finale, so we end off with a pasuk which doesn't even say Shofar. Not only does it not say Shofar, there's absolutely nothing to do with Shofar. It has to do with blowing silver trumpets in the Beis HaMikdash and then in Shas Mechama. So the cause of Rav Yah, so the Rav Yah tried to defend the Minhag HaOlam to delete the tenth pasuk, which we would have expected it to have the word shofar in it, and rather to use the word chatzotzos. So the Rav Yoh suggested mishum the unregilim lahosif for his kesar psukim. So the Rav Yoh says that the emes says that we really only need 10 psukim altogether, and we have 10 psukim because if you look back in the davening on Rosh Hashanah, so we mention in the brach of shofar we say an extra pasuk. We say you're really 11 psukim which have context of shofar. So 10 out of 11 is not bad. So even though the last pasuk that we threw in for good luck, the V'yom Simchastem of Mordechem was Katam B'Chatzeltros, really has absolutely nothing to do with Shofar. Harei Hiskir Asar Psukim, from Hishtam B'Navi Yatzah, so B'Di'evi Yatzah anyway. So if so, if we don't really need this pasuk, this 11th pasuk, and not only do we not need it, but it's really inappropriate because it doesn't have anything to do with Shofar, so why are we wasting our time saying it? The davening is long enough anyway in Rosh Hashanah. So why do we throw in another pasuk for good luck? So says the Rav Yah, Ve'osa pasuk kavu b'tefillah shudivrei ritziv rachamim. Somehow Chazal wanted to shtuk this pasuk in. This is a nice pasuk. This is very relevant for Rosh Hashanah, because after all, as the Ramban said, the whole idea of Tekiyas Chatzotzos is supposed to be derech tefillah, supposed to be rachamim, to invoke the mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what we're trying as hard as we can to do on Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, this is a nice pasuk. But the truth is, says the Rav Yah, between me and you, the pasuk doesn't really belong here. It belongs in Shofar about as much as it belongs in Malchus and Zichronos, because it really has nothing to do with Shofar per se. So the Ramban was so bothered with this kasha that he wasn't so impressed with the Teretz, so the Ramban came up with another solution. He says, it's taka wrong. He says, you're taka missing a pasuk. So you need a 10th pasuk, so what do you do? The Ramban said, that he used to say the same pasuk twice. One of the psukim that we say for Malchios is, Lohibit Oven B'Yakov, Lor Amol V'Yisroel, Hashem Lokadma Osruas Melech Bo. So that pasuk is a good pasuk because it has the word melech in it and it has the idea of trua in it. So you can double up. You can use the same pasuk for both. As he quotes the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Malchus, Omer Meshofros. So the Ramban used to repeat that pasuk. He used to go back in his machzor because he was looking for that 10th pasuk. Rabbi Yonah Zalai, Omer Yom Trua Yelechem. So Rabbi Yonah used to throw out another pasuk. He'd say, Yom Trua Yelechem. All the Rishonim are bothered. What is doing with this 10th pasuk? Where is the missing pasuk of Shofros? Neomer and the Rosh says that he doesn't think you have to make all these changes in the Nesach HaTefillah. This is an age-old custom of using the 10th Pasuk, even though it doesn't really seem to fit in properly. So, he says that, well, you do use the word Tekiah, so that's good enough. So the Rosh says, if you would have stopped and said uskatem, that would have been good enough. Now you said chatzotzros. So no. So just damiach, make me didn't say the word chatzotzros. If you only the word tekiah is good enough. So the chari see from the Rishonim that there's something fishy going on over here. I mean, this last pasuk, the emes b'amito really doesn't belong. That's the honest to goodness it would appear that the tenth pasuk is superfluous at best and incorrect at worst. And the Rishonim are trying very, very hard to explain away why is it that Chazal insisted on somehow stooping in this pasuk about the kiyas chatzotzros where it really doesn't belong. So perhaps what the Rishonim are really trying to say is that that in terms of are we really blowing chatzotzros on Rosh Hashanah? The answer is absolutely not. And none of us have ever heard chatzotzros. So Meheri Yabana Mikdash will hear the chatzotzros. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that in the Beis HaMikdash and Rosh Hashanah they blow together. They blew the shofar and the chatzotzros because it says, "Bachatzotzros v'kol shofar rilis mehalach Hashem." But in the Beis HaMikdash, so they would mamash blow together in unison. But the real mitzvah hayom of shofar of Rosh Hashanah is tkiyah shofar. But afa fichein, even though the mitzvah is tkiyah shofar, Sadar Chazal saw that we want to make mention of the Chatzotzos. And why is that? Why is the Chatzotzos so critical on Rosh Hashanah? So I think that the answer is, based on what the Ramban told us earlier, that it's ultimately Chatzotzos, which is the model in the Chumash, for the idea of the Tefillah V'Yesh Tzara. It's that idea that the Chumash tells us, Chisavon Melchama B'Yartzechem, which is of course the ultimate Tzara, the Tzara par excellence, of going out to war, and the Torah insists that when you have a war, when you have a crisis, when you have a potential a national tragedy, such as a war, and you have to respond accordingly. You can't just sit back and say, whatever happens, happens. That has to be ma'orah, reaching into each and every person to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the mechanism that's used, the vehicle that's used to cry out to the Ribbono Shel Olam is specifically Tekiyas Chatzotzos. So we want to conjure up this image on Rosh Hashanah. A person is standing on Rosh Hashanah in the Yom HaDin, so we want to view it as Chisavom Chama B'Yatzachem. It means we want to say to ourselves, Rabbi said, this is a Yom HaDin, this is a Yom Tzara, the same way as the troops when they're going out to battle, so they're tittering, they're shaking, that Mir Isha, Hayarev Rachaleva, Rachaleva Me'aveir Shabiyado, that just as the Shas Muhammad, just as the Yom Tzara, so we're shaking, and the Torah requires of us to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to use the mechanism of Chatzotros to enable our tefillah to go to Shemayim. So to in Rosh Hashanah, we have to view ourselves as we're B'yeis Tzara. So perhaps the reason why Chazal specifically chose this pasuk of Chatzotros to really stoop into the davening of Rosh Hashanah, where it really doesn't belong. That the Rosh is right, and the Ramban's right, and all the Rishonim are right. The pasuk really does not belong. It's not Chatzotros, this is Shofar, that's Chatzotros, the two different mitzvahs. It doesn't matter. That the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar has a certain similarity to the mitzvah of Tekiyah Chatzotros, that they're both expressions of the concept of a tefillah b'yeis Tzara. So just put us into the proper frame of mind in Rosh Hashanah. The idea that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tzara. Perhaps to add on a little bit more to this, based on what we said from the Ramban before, in the Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvos, where the Ramban says that the only time that Tefillah is the Araisa is only B'yeis Tzara. So it could be that the Ramban would agree that Tefillah and Rosh Hashanah, Tefillah and the Yom Noroim, Tefillah at a time of Yom Hadin, that's Mamash D'Araisa. It's a different Tefillah. It's not the same Tefillah. Guy David, I don't want to minimize David Marif tonight, but hopefully we have to share it. Won't be an ace Tzara for anybody. So the Daven Marif tonight, according to the Rabbanah, is on the Midr Rabbanah. Kriyash Midr Aysa. Daven Shmeresh is on the Midr Rabbanah. But to get up and Daven Azam Marif on a Rosh Hashanah, to get up and Daven on a Yom HaDin, that's a different type of a tefillah. That's a tefillah D'Araisa. That's a whole different ballgame, the idea of Davening on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So that also, that distinction between the tefillah of the Yom Noraim and the tefillah of the rest of the year, so that Yisod ultimately comes from Chatzotros. That is taught to us by the parasha of Chatzotros. So Chazal wanted to emphasize that within the davening itself. Remember when I learned in Kiryat Yavne, so they used to have the minute, like they have in many places, that they take the Hillim in the afternoon in Rosh Hashanah. It's not such a long day in Rosh Hashanah. We have the davening's over, usually in the yeshivas, it's usually almost time for mincha ready. So after davening's over, they go eat a little bit of a suda, and then they come back, they have a little bit of a seder or something, and then they have like a saying of Tehillim before the end of the day. So what used to happen, whenever they would have saying of Tehillim, whenever you have these types of things, you'd always have some of the bachrim who would kind of sneak out to the side to start to learn. The terrible avera, Nebuch, they were going to learn Bava Basra instead of saying Tehillim. So remember, the Rashiv used to get upset, and the Rashiv used to say that, that no, Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tefillah, Rosh Hashanah. You have to learn Rosh Hashanah also, but the time that's set aside for davening Rosh Hashanah, so Zman Tefillah Luchud, Zman Torah Luchud, the Rosh Hashanah is a special day. That means other days you want to maneuver, you want to sneak out and go steig away and read Reb Chaim, that's one thing. But Rosh Hashanah is a day that's miyuchad for Tefillah, so you have to put in the extra time of Tefillah. So that idea is apidit. That idea is based on this Ramban, it's based on Chatzelsus. That since Tefillah Rosh Hashanah is a Tefillah D'Araisa, so one has to take the Tefillah Rosh Hashanah even more seriously than one would take Tefillah during the rest of the year. This idea that the Tefillah in Rosh Hashanah is a Tefillah D'Araisa, it's a Tefillah B'Yisara, and it's Tekiyas Chatzotzos that teaches us this idea, so this may be part of the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar as well. I mean, we spend so much time distinguishing between Shofar and Chatzotzos, now we're going to come back to the idea that just as the Tekiyas Chatzotzos is the Tefillah B'Yisara, so the Tekiyah Shofar also may have a certain aspect of Tefillah to it as well. So if it takes a look at the fourth of the Maamar Kamos, it was a fascinating discussion in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. I'm Rabbi Levi. Mitzvah Shal Rosh Hashanah V'Shal Yom HaKippurim B'Kfufin V'Shal Kol HaShanah V'Pshutin. The Gemara is discussing what should the Shofar look like on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara is talking about the Shofar of Yom Kippur also. It doesn't mean here the blowing that we blow. We blow a minig at the end of Yom Kippur here. The Gemara is talking about the Shofar of Yom Kippur V'Yovel, which is a real mitzvah min HaTorah. We're going to leave that out for now. So what should the shape of the Shofar be? So the Gemara says there are two different types of Shofars. There are some animals, such as rams, which have a curved Shofar. Those are the Shofars that we're familiar with. There are other animals which have a straight shofar, which have a straight horn, which was called in halacha not a kafuf, not a bent horn, but rather a straight horn, a poshut. So the Gemara is having a whole discussion, what should the shape of the shofar look like? So the Gemara says, maybe the shofar of Rosh Hashanah should look one way, maybe the shofar of Yom Kippur should look a different way, maybe the shofar of Kol HaShanah, which refers to the shofar they used to blow on Titus Tibur, should look differently. So one day in the Gemara is that mitzvah shel Rosh Hashanah should be the kfufin, it should be bent, it should be curved, like of course the shofar that we're familiar with. So the Gemara says, "Vatanan shofar Rosh Hashanah shayal poshut." The Gemara quotes the Mishnah that says, "No, that's fakir, that the shofar of Rosh Hashanah should dafka be straight; it shouldn't be curved." So the Gemara says, "The whole machlekes atanoim. What should the shape be?" So the Gemara goes on to elaborate. What's the issue? Who cares what the shofar looks like? Tachlis, a sound comes out. It makes a tkiya, a shvarim, through a tkiya. My nafka meaning what the shape is. So the Gemara quotes a svar that says, that we dafka want the shofar of Rosh Hashanah to be bent. My high. Why should the shofar be bent?" The Gemara says that when a person blows a shofar that's bent, so that's going to set a tone for the day. What does that mean? It means just as the shofar is bent, so too when a person davens to the Rabbanu Shalom, we bend over, you give a Baruch Atah Hashem, you bow down to the Rabbanu Shalom. So just as the shofar is kafuf, just as the shofar is bent over to the Rabbanu Shalom, so too in our tefillah, we should also be kafuf to the Rabbanu Shalom. In fact, the Rishonim will quote, there was some who used to have the minhag that they would daven the entire davening Rosh Hashanah bent over. We only bend over when we get to the Baruch Atah Hashem of the bracha, so they would spend the entire day davening. I have talked to the orthopedic surgeons for that one, but there are people who used to mamish bend, they would stay in the entire davening for hours bent over to demonstrate this idea that a person is supposed to be kafuf to the Rabbanu Shalom. In fact, the Rishonim say that has certain halachic problems to it, because when you davish ben esrei, so you're only supposed to bow down at the brachas that the chalim instituted bowing down. So the person who's bowing the whole time, so when he gets to Baruch Hashem, Hamachdash Chenos L'Tzion, so he's not supposed to be bowing at that time. So even the people who used to bow down would have to get up right at that bracha. I mean, they would stay bowed for the whole Shemoneh Esrei, but there were certain times when they had it. It gets too complicated. So I mean, because we don't do this anymore. But even though we don't practically do this idea of staying in the state of being bowed the whole time, at least psychologically, at least metaphorically, a person is supposed to be in the state of being kafuf to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and it's dafka the shofar that teaches them how to do that. So here we have a fascinating idea that even the shape of the shofar itself teaches the person how it's supposed to daven. That's the shape of the shofar is supposed to teach a person to be kafuf to the Rabbanu Shel Olam in one's davening. So it's not just, as we started out the shir by saying, it's not just as the mitzvah to kia shofar on one side of the fence, then the mitzvah to kia on the other side of the fence. No. The two merge together, not only in Drush, the two merge together, Mamish, in the world of Halacha, that the shofar teaches us what the person's mindset is supposed to be on Rosh Hashanah. We find another aspect of a connection between the Tekiyah Shofar and the Mitzvah of Tefillah in the discussion that the Rishonim have in the fifth of the Maamar Kamos, which is based on something we spoke about in previous years. Gemara tells us a very famous statement in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that there was a machlokes, or question whether it was really a machlokes, or maybe just different, all the opinions were acceptable. There were just different customs as to what the Tekiyah Shofar is supposed to sound like. So the only thing that everybody agrees upon is that you have to have a plain sound at the beginning, you have to have a Tekiyah, and you have to have a Tekiyah at the end. And everyone agrees there has to be a broken sound in the middle. That's what the Torah means when it says Yom Truah Yelachem. Truah means a broken sound. But there are three different opinions what that broken sound is made up of. So one opinion said it's what we call today a Truah, which is a lot of very, very short sounds. There was one opinion in the Gemara that it was three longer sounds that we call today a Shvarim. And there was a third opinion that it's a combination of the two, that it's a Shvarim and a, it's a Shvar, we call today a Shvarim Truah. So since we're not sure who's right, or according to some Rishonim, they're all right, just that to make everybody happy, we don't want Mechlech Sevoy along, Kavachom and Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, the Minig Yisrael has become, already since the days of the Gemara, to blow all three. So that's why when we start off Tekiah Shofar, we call it Halacha the Tekiah Stemiyushah, the Tekiah that technically speaking you can sit for. And Minig is everybody gets up for the Tekiah Stemiyushah, but technically speaking, they're called Miyushah because they're not part of Shemoneh Esrei. So, and then again, that we blow all three sets. We blow Tekiah, Shvarim, Truah, Tekiah three times, then Tekiah, Shvarim, Truah, Tekiah again three times, and then we blow Tekiah, Shvarim, Tekiah three times, then Tekiah, Truah, Tekiah three times. So by the time we finish that first 30 kolos of Tekiah Shofar, everyone has been yotze, every different possible permutation of Tekiah Shofar, and then theoretically a person could go home. So why don't we go home at that point? It's not Musaf, but there's more to it than that. That the halacha is that you have to blow Shofar in Musaf as well. You have to blow what's called Al-Seid HaBrachas, at the Chamim, or in Torah, it's in the Chalikis, who exactly instituted this idea. But you have to blow in the context of the Tefillah itself. You have to blow Shofar, and Davin all together. So that in of itself is something which is striking. There's no other mitzvah that we do that. You don't, let's say, come the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, so we don't eat the matzah in the middle of Davening Ma'ariv basic night. We're sitting in the sukkah, so we don't sit in the sukkah in the middle of Davening Shemoneh Esrei. It's only the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar that we do the mitzvah in the middle of Davening. So that, of course, also leads us to believe to everything that we've been saying is this Yesod, that Tekiah Shofar and Tefillah are not two different mitzvahs. The Tekiah Shofar and Tefillah are all one and the same. That the Tekiah Shofar teaches us how to daven. That the Tekiah Shofar is an enhancement of our daven. The Tekiah Shofar is that Tefillah b'yeis tzara. So come the Rishon Mabarab with the following. If the Halacha requires of us to blow Shofar al Seid HaBrachas, so presumably what we should do is, since before davening Musaf, so we weren't sure what was the real Tekiah Shofar, so we blew everything, so presumably we should repeat all those tefillos, we should blow all over again when it comes to the Shemoneh Esrei as well. So therefore, when we get to the bracha, let's say of Malchios in the Shemoneh Esrei, so we should blow again a Tekiah Shvarim through a Tekiah, then we should blow a Tekiah Shvarim Tekiah, then we should blow a Tekiah through a Tekiah, and we should do the same story for Zichronos and the same story for Shofars. We should cover ourselves on all bases the same way that we weren't sure before davening which is the real Tekiah Shofar, and we want to be Yaitzeh this Tekiah B'Shas HaBrachas, so we should blow all the Sveikas all over again. So comes the riff in the fifth of the Ma'amar Kamos, and says as follows, that even though in theory that's what should happen, Lamaith, that's not what's happening. Nimza Achshav says the riff, Shetokin Tekiah Shvarim through a Tekiah Gimel Pa'amim, is before davening. The token Tekiah Shvarim Tekiah Gimel Pa'amim. The token Tekiah Truah Tekiah Gimel Pa'amim. The Nagu Ha'am the token Kishen Yoshvin. The Mavarchem Aleihem Brachas Tekiah. Will be Pnei Shat Sibur Tzrichim Lishmat Tekiah Sosed Abrachel. Since the Halacha requires a Tekiah B'Shashman Esrei. Lefika Chozrin the token Alseid Abrachas. But what do? We don't blow the way I just presented before to cover all your bases. Rather, we blow Tekiah Shvarim Truah Tekiah Pamachas. For the first bracha, we blow one time. For the Tekiah Shvarim, Tekiah Pamachas. And the second bracha, just Tekiah Shvarim, Tekiah. And with Tekiah Truah, Tekiah Pamachas. And some of you may not be familiar with this minhag, because for the last 1,500 years, no one's been doing this minhag. Most shuls don't do this anymore. Most shuls do the way I presented it. But this was the old minhag that the Rif says, that they did not cover themselves in all bases. As they came to the bracha Malchus, they didn't blow all the different Sveikas. They came to Zichronos, they didn't blow all the different Sveikas. So why not? So the rift gets into a big problem. So the rift says, we really should not be doing this. We should really repeat all the Sveikas for each of the brachas. So the Rif says, well, you're Yetzi anyway before. The Rif at the end of the day says, you know why we're makil during Shemoneh Esrei? It's late, people are hungry, people are tired, people may be talking. So therefore the Rif says, you know what, let's try to cut the davening down a little bit. So the Rif says, can you imagine? the thing they cut out Tekiah Shofar. I mean, they really should have done a longer Tekiah Shofar. They really should have done a more chumadika version of Tekiah Shofar. So that's that the Chacham decided that we're going to chisel away a little bit of Tekiah Shofar because Min HaTorah you really yotzei anyway. Very, very interesting understanding that the Rif has. V'chein ha'minig b'chol ha'olam. The Rif says that's what everybody does. Uv'shtei yeshivas. And that's the minig in the two yeshivas. The two yeshivas were the two basic makamos of Torah and Bavel. One was in Surah and one was in Pupadisa. So if that's what they were doing in Surah and Pupadisa, that's doing the whole oil. So the Rif said, okay, so Muslim, that's the reason, because of Techet HaTzibur. Somebody just told me last night that the city Najaf in Iraq, which is in the news a lot, they said that's on the side of the old Pupadisa. That's what somebody said. I don't know if it's true or not, but it was an interesting piece of information. So I guess they used to have Mechamta Shal Torah there. I don't know what's going on there now. The holy city. That's right. It was holy before they came. It was holy because they were blowing shofar at the wrong place there. But anyway, that's what the Rif says. That was the minhag in the Halakha Yeshivas in Bavel to blow this watered down version of Tekiah Shofar, not the Matriarch Tzibah. So the Ramban in the sixth of the Marmakamos. So the Ramban on the Mechamas Hashem. See, Mechamas Hashem. The Ramban wrote the Mechamas Hashem to defend the Rif because the Bala Maor wrote an attack against the Rif. Attack. He wrote a critique against the Rif. So the Bala Maor wrote his sefer Hamor HaGol, Hamor HaKatan, and the Ramban in defending, he felt that it was so important to defend the words of the Rif against the Bala Maor, so he called them Mechamas Hashem. Those are the Mechamas of old. So the Ramban writes, he's also trying to explain away this Minhag HaOlam of blowing the water down to Kiyush Shofar during Shemon Esrei. So comes the Ramban and says, Hukach, B'Rosh Hashanah Nami, Kevin Sheyatzani Yadei Chovas Tekiah Shel Torah, the Enkel Yachav Yachai B'Tekiah. Says the Ramban, the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar you yotze before Musaf. What we call the Tekiah the Meyushav, once you blow those 30 first kolos, so you yotze legamri. So why are we blowing again? Lo nisha lanu ela chovas brachos, shetikta ben tekiahs kidei sheyale zichroneinu letova bishofar, v'habalei ketainis uvekiah kolshu yotze yudei hasra shal brachos. Says the Ramban, interesting yisod, that when we blow shofar during Musaf, that's not the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar. Tekiah Shofar's over already. You blew already. You yaitz already. So if you were yaitz Tekiah Shofar, what are you doing blowing again? Says the Ramban, that's a kiyum and tefillah. That a tefillah in Rosh Hashanah requires kailas. Tekiah in Rosh Hashanah has to go in the context of a shofar. So says the Ramban, once we've changed the name of the mitzvah, we have transformed this mitzvah. If you would have asked, now I would have said, this is Tekiah Shofar. Guy's holding a shofar. The rabbi's screaming out Tekiah Shofar, so it's the same thing. The man says, no, that's not really Tekiah Shofar. Tekiah Shofar is over ready before Musaf starts. What you're doing on Musaf Rosh Hashanah is enhancing your tefillah. You're being ma'ala your tefillah l'shnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Ramban, you're using the shofar, which an hour ago you used as a vehicle for the fulfillment of the mitzvah deraita of Yom Tru'i Yelachem, that mitzvah Tekiah Shofar, you're now using that same instrument and using it to be ma'ala your tefillah l'shemayim. So my nafkamina, whether you call it Tekiah Shofar, whether you call it tefillah, says the Ramban, all the difference in the world. When you're dealing with Tekiah Shofar, deraisa, you're dealing with the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar, there are dinim. Tekiah Shofar means you have to have a tekiah, it has to be a trua, trua may mean a shvar, may mean a trua, may mean a shvar. There are details in halacha, what constitutes a kasha Tekiah Shofar. When you're dealing with the mitzvah of tefillah, so you don't have to be so, all the details, the minute details in the halacha, even if it's not a kasha trua, it doesn't matter. My nafkamina, whether it's a shvarm, it's a trua, shvarm, trua, it doesn't make a difference. Because the whole purpose of the blowing during Musaf is not to fulfill Tekiah Shofar. The purpose is to enhance your tefillah. You can enhance your tefillah in any sound whatsoever. Stuff that has to be in the parish of Tekiah Shofar. You can't play Yankee Doodle in the middle of Musaf. But as long as it's basically in the realm of Tekiah Shofar, that's good enough to be mala at tefillahs with Sneha Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Ramban is telling us also a yesod in terms of the relationship between Tekiah Shofar and davening, that the Tekiah Shofar that we do during davening has a dual purpose, that there's really a different purpose, that the original purpose of Tekiah Shofar was the mitzvah deraisa of Yom Tru'i Yelachem, and now what we're doing is we're using the shofar as a mechanism to enhance that tefillah. So we see both in the world of, just in terms of drush and in terms of world of halacha, that this relationship, these two seemingly different mitzvahs that we perform in Rosh Hashanah, the day that's dedicated to Tekiah Shofar and the day that's dedicated to tefillah, so there are overlaps between the two. There is an interrelationship, there is an interplay between these mitzvahs, based initially on the words of the Ramban, that the mitzvah of Tekiyas Chatzotzeros and Tekiyas Shofar, which as we saw already from the Nuscha the Davening, is in effect one and the same. It's different instruments, but the idea of blowing, the idea of using our Chatzotzeros B'Eis Tzara, the idea of using our Shofar B'Eis Tzara, so this expresses itself in the real world of Halacha, in the sense of what does the Shofar look like, that the Shofar is bent, that's supposed to teach us how we're supposed to Daven to Ribbono Shel Olam on Rosh Hashanah. The fact that we do the mitzvah of Tekiyas Shofar in the context of Tefillah, that indicates to us that there's a connection between the two. And this idea of the Ramban, that we're using that same vehicle that we used for the mitzvah, the rice of Tekiyas Shofar, we're using it as a way to be Malah Tefillah to Ribbono Shel Olam, that also adds a dimension as to the relationship between the mitzvah of Tekiyas Shofar and the mitzvah of Tefillah. But perhaps we can add a little bit to this, which I think is something important to keep in mind. Also in the world of Machshava, particularly at the time of Rosh Hashanah, really based on an issue which really comes up in terms of understanding tefillah really all the time. That's based on as follows, that there is a pasuk, you know, we say all the time in Ashrei, that Ritzon Rav Yaseh V'yes Shavasa Mishma V'yoshiyen, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the Ratzon of the Yirei Hashem, person is Yirei Shemayim, the person daven for the Ribbono Shel Olam, there Hashem Yitar Mitzvahs Yirei Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to listen, Ritzon Rav Yaseh. And then it says, V'esha v'osam nishma v'yoshiyam. And then it says, he'll listen to the crying out, to the screaming out. So it sounds a little bit repetitive. It's on Rav Yaseh, V'esha v'osam nishma v'yoshiyam. So some of the Mepharshim say no. That pasuk, that seemingly innocent pasuk, really deals with the following basic problem that we have whenever we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu to anything. We sometimes think that we know what's best for ourselves. We think that this job is the perfect job for me. This shidduch is the perfect shidduch for me. Everything I have, everything my whole life planned out, mapped out. I have a list of demands for the Ribbono Shel Olam. All I need from the Ribbono Shel Olam is just to get the okay. Just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to listen, but I'm going to present to the Ribbono Shel Olam what's good for me, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go through with the request. So that's not necessarily the case. Sometimes the person can down for something. They set their mind on something that they think is good for themselves. And because we're human beings, so our vision is so limited, we have such a small perception of the greater picture in terms of ourselves, the greater picture in terms of our families, the greater picture in terms of Klal Yisrael, in terms of the whole world, something which we think is it, this is going to be my Yeshua, and sometimes we realize that what we thought was a Yeshua turns out to be our downfall, and vice versa. Sometimes the things that we thought, which are so detrimental, which are so terrible, in the end we see, turns out really to be the Yeshua, the Kadosh Baruch Hu has a strange way of quote-unquote fulfilling our requests. That's what the Mepharshim say. Ritzon Rav Yaseh. If a person comes to Ribbono Shel Olam and davens, if the person is deserving, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to listen. Ritzon Rav Yaseh. He'll do. And then, Ochen Vei, if he listens to your tefillah, V'yesh Shavosam Yishma V'yashiyam. Then a week later, you're going to scream to Ribbono Shel Olam, get me out of this mess that I get myself into. It means, I thought that this is the right thing for me, so I begged the Ribbono Shel Olam to do. Ritzon Rav Yaseh. He listened. Tacha Yerzeicha Yerei Shemayim. He listened to your tefillah, he did what you asked for, and now you got to beg your Bosham to bail you out. V'yesh shavosam, then you're going to be shaved, then you're going to be screaming, so Kadosh Baruch will do you a favor, also Yishma v'yoshir, he's going to get you out of that mess that you yourself got into. So whether that's the emes of pshat in the pasuk, whether it's the drush in the pasuk, the idea I think is important in the sense of that it gives us a perspective in terms of tefillah, that we have to understand that the things that we think are abba kashas and atzerachim, sometimes we have a limited perspective. So where does that put us in terms of davening? So yes, we come to the Ribbono Shel Olam with a whole pekel, with a whole list of things that we ask for. When the Yom Noraim, we ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu for health and happiness and good for us and our family. And we come with certain specifics, you know, specific things that we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam for. But then there has to come a point in our davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we take a step back and we say, you know, Ribbono Shel Olam, we just asked you for A, B, C, X, Y, Z, but now we realize that what we really should be asking the Ribbono Shel Olam for is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you decide what's good for us. We are willing to trust you to make that correct decision, what we really need. Not what we think, not what we perceive what we need, but only you, Ribbono Shel Olam, have the greater picture to know what's really right for us. And that's perhaps what the Mepharshim, they use a phrase that they describe Tekiyas Shofar as being the tefillah without words. What does that mean, the tefillah without words? It means we come to Ribbono Shel Olam and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, we just spent the whole Ma'ariv and the whole Shacharis, and we're going to daven a whole Musaf, and we're going to ask for so many specific things, but what's the highlight of the davening in Rosh Hashanah is not the davening per se. The highlight of the davening is when we come to the Ribbono Shel Olam and we scream out Shvarim, Teruah, Tekiyah. It means Ribbono Shel Olam, we don't even know what's right for us. We don't know this job's going to be good, this job's not going to be good, this is going to be right, this is going to... We don't know. Ribbono Shel Olam, the ultimate tefillah of Rosh Hashanah is the tefillah without words. The ultimate tefillah of Rosh Hashanah is we send that kolos up to Shemayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you fill in the blanks. What the Tekiyah Shofar is a blank tefillah. It's a giving a blank check. You're trusting HaKadosh Baruch Hu to sign the blank check. Usually, you don't give a blank check to anybody. You only give a blank check to someone you trust is going to fill out the correct amount. So you're giving the Ribbono Shel Olam that blank tefillah and saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, we're not sure exactly if everything that we asked for is correct. And we don't want to get to the point of Ritzon Rav Yasev, Yeshaval Samish Rav Yasev, you have to bail us out. So Ribbono Shel Olam, we say to you, that take our tefillahs, take our tekiyos, take our kolos, and just as they blew the chatzotos of old as the Eisara, we blow our shofar of the Eisara, and we beg the Ribbono Shel Olam that he should take our tefillahs, take our tekiyos, and fill in the blanks, and give us what's proper, what's appropriate for each and every one of us. So hopefully as we get closer to the time of Rosh Hashanah, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, scary, but 2 weeks from, already from tonight, beginning of Rosh Hashanah, so to keep our mind focused, that yes, it's the time of tefillah, yes, it's the time that we come to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, but at the end of the day, to realize that ultimately the Kadosh Baruch Hu makes the judgment call, hopefully to judge and to decide what's best for each and every one of us.
Amen. Thank you.